As we're now deep into the holiest 10 days of the year, the time of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days that we're supposed to repent, improve, become better people, sometimes it could be very intimidating and almost overbearing because if we're honest with ourselves, if we're the type of people that have enough integrity to look honestly at ourselves, we know that there's so much that we have to rectify and to fix and make better for Hashem that sometimes we feel we don't know where to start, what we can do, and to fast and merubalei to fast. If we try to take on too much, we'll end up with nothing. So I want to share with you what I think might be something very worthwhile to work on that's within our reach, and I think one of the most important things that we have to work on. And I've been thinking about it since I heard a story over Rosh Hashanah from a dear friend of mine that I'd like to share with you. It moved me incredibly since my friend told me about it, and I think it's something that we all need to learn from in the deepest way. This dear, dear friend of mine comes from a Satmar family. His whole family are Satmar Hasidim. For those that don't know, Satmar are pretty religious Jews, to say the least. And this friend of mine, he, by the age of about 20, left yeshiva to go to work, even though he was still a young man, but he didn't find his place in the yeshiva that much, and he felt that he would be more successful and self-fulfilled going to work, and he did at the age of 20. He always remained, Baruch Hashem, quote-unquote, observant, religious, so to speak, frum, but he didn't necessarily always dress the way that the rest of people in Satmar do. Today he does wear a shtreimel on Shabbos, but he didn't always dress that same way. And he used to go in every day from work, the middle of the workday, he would make sure to go daven mincha with a minyan, but he didn't always wear his hat and jacket when he went to daven, as is the custom by ultra-Orthodox Jews, to make sure not to pray without wearing a hat and a jacket. He didn't. After a couple of months, his father received a phone call from another member of the Satmar community that had seen my friend going to daven every day mincha without a hat and jacket. And this member of the community felt it his personal responsibility to, you know, save Klal Yisrael. He calls up my friend's father and says, I've seen your son go to daven mincha unahitn rekel without a hat and jacket. I was shocked. I'm sorry to have to give you such agmas nefesh. I'm so sorry to have to tell you such terrible news and give you such pain. But your son has been going to pray without a hat and jacket. And I think, you know, you really need to speak to him. You really need to speak to your son about it. This horrible, horrible travesty that he prays without wearing a hat and jacket. You really need to speak to your son. You know, you got to wonder about these types of people, that what they must think to themselves when they make these types of phone calls. Sad, sad, pathetic and skewed that people could think that for God's sake you have to say horrible things about people. But anyway, this is what he said to my friend's father. So my friend told me that his father, as soon as he put down the phone, he hung up, he called over my friend, his son, and he said to him, son, I was told that I have to speak to you, and I do have to speak to you. I am so proud of you that you go every day to daven mincha. It warmed my heart. It makes me so happy. You have no idea how happy it makes me to know that you go every single day and you don't miss a day. You make sure to pray mincha. Thank you, son. That's beautiful. And he gave him a kiss and hug. You see, every person is a combination of wonderful virtues and a lot of flaws, a lot of bad things too. None of us could escape that. Nobody, no human being goes through life without making mistakes or doing something that they're ashamed of. This person that made the phone call to criticize a Jew going to pray without a hat and jacket, he did sins in his life. Rest assured, he did plenty of sins. But there are those people that choose to behave as if this wasn't the case, and they relentlessly judge other people. They're always ready to make a detailed list of other people's, what they see to be other people's flaws. They feel they have the right to determine what path other people should follow, even though they themselves also sin, and they're intolerant of other people's shortcomings. But here's the ultimate truth. Here's what we need to bear in mind. Everybody chooses to see what they want to see and what they don't want to see in the other people. Each one of us, when we see somebody, we choose what we notice in somebody else. And the golden rule is that almost always the choice of what we choose to see in other people is how we really evaluate and perceive ourselves, consciously or unconsciously. If we see faults in other people, they remind us of our own faults, of the mistakes we ourselves made. We can't tolerate in other people what we can't tolerate in ourselves. It's what psychologists call projection, and it's what Chazal, what the sages say in the Mishnah, kol ha-poisel b'mumoy poisel. What you see fault in others is your own faults. For instance, a person that's selfish, by example, they can't see their own selfishness. They create false arguments to justify their own selfish behavior, which they then don't have for some other people. All their own justifications for their selfish behavior don't work for somebody else, so therefore they just see the other person's selfishness when they themselves are selfish. Consciously or unconsciously, we choose to see in the other the way we feel about ourselves. Consciously or unconsciously, when we see faults, what we perceive to be faults in other people, it reminds ourselves of our own faults. And we can't stand that about ourselves. We might not be aware that this is happening, but we have to realize that intolerance towards other people is really more directed at ourselves than anyone else. If we keep seeing negativity about other people, we have to know that that's because we see that in ourselves, maybe unconsciously, but it's that we can't stand that same thing about ourselves. But on the other hand, if you're able to see beauty in somebody else, you're able to see somebody else's behavior and see the positivity in it, it means that you're in touch with the beauty that you yourself possess. It means that you are comfortable with how you yourself are a good person. You see, everyone always talks about the holy Reb Lev Yitzchak of Berdichev, Lev Yitzchak ben Sarah Sasya, who's a mitzvah to speak about this time of year. The holy Berdichev only saw holiness and goodness in other Jews, in other people. And that's because he was such a holy, exalted, and good person. And learning how to look at other people with the Berdichever's eyes is not something so impossible and something so necessary to work on this time of year. Because we want God to see our beauty. This time of year, we want Hashem to see our beauty. We want Hashem to only look at us with good eyes. And there's nothing that could elicit that more than our working on training ourselves, looking at other people with good eyes, with Berdichever's eyes. Because that will also help us look at ourselves with good eyes, with Berdichever eyes, and thereby elicit Hashem looking at us with good eyes. And this is particularly important this year, Tavshin Ayin Tes, which stands for Teish Nas Ayin Tova. May it be a year of good eyes. It's a tremendously auspicious time, auspicious year to work on having good eyes. And this will prevent so much pain and damage. I know in my life I've had, and I'm sure many of you have had as well, people look at me with bad eyes and say horrible things and judge. And we all know that there's nothing more painful and damaging than that. Nothing more hurtful than when people choose to focus on what they see as being flaws, whether they're real or not. Let's choose to be Ayin Tova people, to be people with Berdichever eyes. Let's choose to see the good and the beautiful in people, the holy in people, because that way we're really seeing the beauty and the good in ourselves. And that causes Hashem to have an Ayin Tov and look at all of us with goodness, with kindness, with sweetness, and give us the best year so far.